Commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to...
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is the first Tuesday of the month, which means Mike Tinker.
Wondering how it's going.
And so we have Mike Tinker, Jen Uhas, Wayne Heimer, and the ever-cantankerous... Al Barrett.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Dandy, now that I found a parking spot. I'll
take two of them up again.
I can't trust my reverse in my truck, so I had to make it around the block until I could pull in one.
Well, how about that? Mr. Tinker.
Yes, sir.
You just got back from, tell everyone.
Well, I've been down fishing for the last month or three or four weeks.
Where at?
In the Copper River. I run a fish wheel for the family and some friends down there.
How was it this year?
Well, it was a slow start. Upriver, where we are, we're clear up at Gakona, which is a long way upriver from even Jitna. But the fish finally did show up there. We had one interruption by about a week-long flood that came up, real high rains and combined with the melt in the real high up Copper River.
What's been the overall return this year?
It's very, very poor in the Copper. They're barely squeaking, making the minimum that they wanted for their escapement. And that's all fish, all salmon.
Wow.
You got to watch in the Copper because they keep track of kings.
You got to throw them back.
As a special, but they count all the fish as their escapement. So they... as of a couple days ago, they were right on the line of the lower escapement. Now, the problem with that is that there's about 300,000 fish between the lower escapement they want and the higher one.
Does everybody know what
you got to speak into the microphone?
Yeah. Does everyone know what escapement is?
Yeah, we could talk.
I bet not.
Yeah. Well, escapement
from the doctor in the room.
Yeah. Do they get fin bracelets?
So what happens when the salmon come back each year and they start up the river on their spawning run and they're intercepted as they come in to the east side of Prince William Sound there and for the Copper River, and they get mutilated by a couple of different outside fisheries and then these inside fishery at Cordova for the Copper River commercial fishery opens, and the fish run the gamut there to get into the river. And then as they come up the river, a lot of people don't realize that there are so many big tributaries. There are a lot of big rivers. So even if you have a bunch of fish in one spot on the river, you could get to the Chittenah River is a good example. There's a huge number of fish that turn off to go up that river to spawn. And it goes on up like that. The Clutina gets some, and the Golcana gets some, and the littler places, Chistochina, Indian River, all the way up to Solana. So these fish drop off along the way. So the escapement then for the whole river is measured about 40 miles up from the mouth at a wide spot called Miles Lake. And it's done with radar, sonar, underwater from both banks. They count. And then they, over the years, they've interpolated their formula.
Escapement is those fish who have escaped to that point.
That's correct. And so the measured escapement that you would read about in the paper is what they are counting at Miles Lake, those who have escaped into the river.
Okay.
Yeah, and then on up from there, the fish have some more issues to go through. They have a dip net fishery at Chittenah, which takes around 60,000, 70,000 fish a year in normal years. They go through the subsistence fish wheel and dip net fishery above that in the Glen Allen district. That can take as many as 100,000, but it hasn't for some years. They have that about that many allotted, but it's not been over about 60 for a while.
Okay.
There is a small sport fishery in both the Clutina, Gulcana, and a couple of the other Clearwater streams. We're talking about a few thousand fish there.
Yeah.
And then basically everything else gets theoretically to its spawning grounds.
Okay.
And becomes the propagation for the next cycle.
The goal for escapement is enough to have salmon babies for next time?
Correct. Yeah, for the actual spawning escapement. That's what they're shooting for.
So, Jen.
Yes, sir.
Sir was my father. I'm David. In 6 days, it's your season. Grouse.
Yeah, that's the season I'm looking for in 6 days.
Well, one of them. or are you going to go pop a caribou?
Grouse is what we do after caribou and sheep are open.
Okay.
Speaking of sheep season opening, I heard a rumor, Wayne, that this new sheep test everybody has to take, the reason it's designed the way it is.
Because Al got involved.
Well, no, I heard it was because Wayne.
Oh.
And I thought, really? We keep talking about this at Laundry House Gang and you haven't piped in at all.
Well, actually, this is kind of a long story. I don't know how much folks be interested in.
Everybody's interested in this new
test.
We're
riveted to the airwaves.
What is new this dun, dun, dun. Year for sheep hunters is that they must take a knowledge proficiency test before they may participate in hunting. This test consists of 20 questions, and you can take it online if you wish. I took it online and flunked.
And you can take it over and over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Flunked?
I'm only the guy that invented the definition. Yeah. I flunked.
Wow.
10 out of 20 I missed.
What?
I missed 10 out of 20, and I think I did not go back and check to see what the correct answers were, which you can do, since this is an obligatory thing you have to do if you should flunk it like Al Barrett did.
So basically this is a...
I mean, it's the test flunk?
And it's a take-home test.
Yeah,
it's open book.
Yeah.
If you get it wrong, they will
So basically, I could have Jen take it for me and pass with flying colors.
Probably.
She might.
I plan on going sheep hunting next year, so Jen, I might have to hire you as a consultant on this test.
It kind of depends on whether Jen is willing to say the right things as defined by the Department of Fish and Game.
Oh.
So give us some insight to that.
Well,
DEI or?
It goes back quite a ways, almost 30 years ago, we changed the harvest regulation from a toxic biological one of young rams as the beginning to a biologically sustainable one where we don't shoot rams till they're 8 years old or full curl.
Full curl, yeah.
Which means they're entering the high mortality phase of their life and they're going to die pretty soon anyway if we don't shoot them. And that harvest regime apparently has no effect on lamb production and it has a beneficial effect on young ram survival. So we do that for a biological reason. And, in the bad old days, the managers, me, had enough confidence in sheep hunters to say, this is the definition, figure it out.
Yeah, full curl up to the eye.
Yeah, well, but wanting to be helpful, the department began to provide helpful hints over the years, I have found those helpful hints to be so confusing that I got 50% on the obligatory test.
I'm gonna try find this test and just take it, see how I do. I'm not going this year. Yeah. Do you have to take it the year that you go?
I don't know the answer, Al.
No. You don't have to take it the year you go, but you have to have taken it before you go.
Okay. Well, Jen, what's your schedule next week?
So you can start now, Dave.
Exactly. I'm lying out my consultant.
Well, and Wayne, maybe you guys can speak to, a lot of people are talking about this and what the supposed goal may be, but let's talk about what the goal of implementing this test was. He's sliding the mic over to Al, who's on the board of game.
So when this became a proposal to the board of game, and by a member of the public, which most of all our proposals do come from, And being involved with the fish and game process for well over 20 years, I observed certain things. And one of them is when you have what some people would say is a decreasing population, and the only thing that can be control that population is the environment and weather, people want to still do something. And so people that think sublegal sheep are an issue, they want those people and anybody that has less experience than them to pass a proficiency test. It's not something the department tracks. It's not something that you can't get the answers to. It's a feel-good educational thing.
How about you're out in the field, and you know you have a sheep, and you come in and you meet your lovely state trooper. Do you have to show him documents that you pass this proficiency test?
Yes, that's part of the testing. And once you take that, you'll figure
you gotta bring
all
your hunting
out.
License, your tag, and your proficiency test with you now out into the field.
And your hunter safety card.
And you got to have one of those?
And your bear baiting card.
Yeah. You have to carry lots of documentation. It's easier to cross the border these days than to go participate in some of our hunting opportunities.
Fairbanks, with that, we're going to puke while we take a nice commercial break. We'll be back after these Ralphing maneuvers.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Our national parks didn't just happen. They were imagined by those who saw beyond their time. The trailblazers, the bold. They stood on the edges of canyons, walked through history, and understood that these places need us just as much as we need them. Now it's up to us. Join the National Park Foundation to ensure what's all of ours is here forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/trailblazers.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. We're here with Josh Hughes, charter captain, Silver Salmon. What do you expect for the 2026 season?
So you have years with lots of silvers where it's like banging and super easy. Last year was really good. I know there were a couple of down years, and yet what we're getting from Fish and Game and what we're expecting for this season is another really good season. You're going to be looking at silvers being further out in, say, middle of July. Further out meaning most of the charters will be the most successful. And yet, regarding them hitting the arm of Valdez and or the Narrows, everybody's like, when are the silvers inside of the Narrows? That's going to be more towards the end of July, you know, first week of August, being that they're moved to this side of, you know, the Prince William Sound line.
And you don't charter for pink salmon, but there are an awful lot of them here for kids, first timers.
Catching fish, right? Fishing is fun and catching fish is fun. And an early season pink salmon out of the saltwater is fine to eat. You can't tell a lot of difference. Maybe there's a little bit, but what's the difference in good versus very good versus very, very good? Very. That's the only difference.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 76. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 54. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I don't know if I want to say this or not, but I'm going to. We have great weather in the next few days. at the same time a fair is going on.
Oh, that's right.
Shh, quiet, quiet.
We're going to take a phone call. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Hi, my name's Mike. I wanted to ask Al a question, or maybe the whole group there. So,
Hold on. Could you give Al the headphones there? They want to ask Al a question, the cantankerous one.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Okay.
It's Quinn.
Recently, a somewhat expert made the comment that the Board of Game deals with regulatory issues and the department deals with administrative, and that requiring educational courses and tests is administrative. So perhaps Al could comment on that, and why did the Board of Game do this sheep test, and has the board done other tests? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, yeah. Thank
Great
you.
Question. Thank
Excellent
you.
Question. So, yes, the Board of Game has under its authorities to make regulations pertaining to education. And the department has the authority and the ability to administrate those educational, in this case, tests or quizzes. And so, yes, that's how that works, the difference between the administration and the Board of Games authorities, which the Board of Game somewhat falls underneath the administration anyways.
Well, the Board of Game adopts regulations, and then the department implements them. That's the administrative
right.
portion of it. But, you know, regulations still fall under administrative code, where statutes are with the legislature.
Exactly.
Okay. Now that I have you all in the room. Yes, Mr. Tinker.
I want to say something about this issue of the sheep and whatnot, and I'm not really worried about the Board of Game or the department, but we've lost total perspective on what the goal or the objective of setting the regulation to size doll sheep is. Wayne said something earlier that, you know, flies right over people's head, and they really need to bear down on it. And that is when the full curl limit
matures.
Yeah, no, when the full curl limit was put on,
yeah. mm-hmm.
okay, those rams are well beyond reproductive age. So the reproduction of the sheep herd doesn't have anything to do with those old guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you shoot them, 5% of them or 85% of them, it doesn't change how many lambs you're going to have in the spring and what's coming on. But you get these regulations for a couple of reasons. One is people want to be able to count things instead of have to guess whether it's a full curl or a half curl or it's three-quarter curl. And we have the same kind of a problem with the 50-inch moose regulation, that 90% of the people, if they guess within a couple inches of 50, are doing really well.
Yeah,
and the system has gone away from that. But with the sheep, where you don't have a production problem, the idea that this thing might be a quarter of an inch shy of
full curl
by whatever guy looks at it, and therefore you get a citation,
confiscated,
or an inch. Well, or even if you get it back, it usually takes Wayne, 6 months yeah. or more to get it back. The whole issue is not necessary in the first place, is where I'm going. And yet we've tried to refine this thing down to where you can't kill one of these things until you have it sit down. You tell it to sit, and you run over and put your tape on him and run around and make sure it does this and it meets a stick and jumps up in the air and all that.
Wayne,
and then you can shoot him.
Wayne, when you were the sheep biologist, did you do that with sheep, have them sit down to you and jump up in the air? And
no.
And
the hunters didn't either.
Okay.
You know, we were with the full curl regulation several years, quite a few,
yeah.
before we went to mandatory blessing by the department of your effort. You know, there was an illegal traffic in bighorn horns down in the USA, and to stop that, they began to require that the horns be identified with the plug that you put in it.
Okay.
Well, that sounded like way cool to the people that wanted to do something up here. And so they got event. Took them 3 years. When I was on the job, I managed to fight it off in the interest of the hunters a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was gone, they said, you can't enjoy, really, your sheep hunting experience until it's been blessed by a technician at a fish and game office who will decide whether it's full curl or not and stick a plug in it that and identifies it.
And then we had to have some standardization on the technician's blessing.
And at the time, everybody was an expert, and the variability was just incredible.
Do we ever in Alaska get a migration of stone sheep in from Canada, ever?
No, not that we know of.
Okay, so we get the Fannin sheep, which is a combination of the Dall and the stone.
Fannin sheep, it kind of depends on where you live.
Yeah.
The Fannin sheep really looks different if you live in Alaska. If it's got two black hairs in it, it's a Fannin sheep in Canada. And on the border, there are some Fannin sheep that look like, they're obviously not Dalton. They're not white.
Yeah.
And they're not stone sheep. Yeah. So they're Fannin by definition.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that rare to find a couple of black hairs, or on the Hulahula River, sheep with black tails as black as a black bear's. That's where I've seen them. And whether those are Fannin sheep or just black tails, I don't know. But the Fannin sheep is a
subspecies or?
Yep. Oh, it's just a different color.
Yeah, is it a subspecies of the Dall?
It is a Dall, basically.
Some call it Ovis Dalli Fannini, which would be a subspecies. Yeah. I don't care.
Ah, okay.
Is it a subspecies or just a breed?
So basically, the purple padded room is having an effect on Wayneheimer. Okay. Yes, Mr. Cantankerous One.
Yeah, so for clarification, they're all Dall sheep because that's all we have a season and bag limit for.
Very well put. Yeah, there is no. Okay, yeah.
Just let me finish up and say that through our management programs, and again, proposals such as a Dall sheep quiz is only gets brought to the board. One, it's lower 48 creep, and two, again, people want to do something because the population's low. And every sheep counts, so they think these sublegals are very important. And so they were trying to help, lower that sublegal take. But in management, the managers, they account for sublegal harvest.
Yeah.
And so they're watching that, and it doesn't change very much or significantly statistically enough.
And it's very low.
Yeah, statistically enough to have any effect on, lamb production. So.
Okay.
But, when I was unaware of this because I've been living in a bubble, apparently, for the last year, this idea came to the board. I did not comment on it, which sometimes the board doesn't care what I say anyway. I wrote to the commissioner and the director and a couple of biologists that were involved in Dall sheep and said, what's going on with this deal? This is really strange. And received a nice letter back saying, you, sir, were asleep at the switch, and if the Board of Game did it, it's righteous. And I said to myself, I haven't spoken back to them yet, that's very interesting because a couple of years ago, the department was summoned by the Board of Game to give a report on Dall sheep. They gave a marvelous 3-hour report to the Board of Game. Immediately after that, a senior member of the Board of Game says, I don't care what you guys think. I'm going to introduce something to do something. And I wondered how these guys could take the Board of Game so seriously when they had just been told, we don't care what you think. It was 2 years ago. They may have forgotten.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, going to give you some Stevie Wonder bumper music. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, and some commercials and weather. But when we come back, I've got 4 people in the room. We're going to play Dave's Lottery on the gubernatorial primary. We'll be back after these messages. I'm
Up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Senate Judiciary Committee voting in favor of moving forward with the nomination of Todd Blanche to be the next U.S. Attorney General this morning. The committee voting right down party lines. 12 Republicans voting to approve of the nomination.
Let me vote. The ayes are 12. The nays are 10.
The nomination will be favorably reported.
So there you go. In Michigan, residents deciding who they want to advance to November's general election for an open seat in the Senate. Progressive Abdul El Sayed is facing off against Michigan Representative Haley Stevens for the Democratic nomination. Or Michigan Republican Senate candidate Mike Rogers criticizing both Democratic candidates as too radical.
The media spent a long time trying to separate the two as one is moderate and one is, as I've been saying, a special sauce of crazy. Well, guess what? They've just proven that they are both right out of the same mold.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Alaska Beacon reports that Alaska is now in charge of hazardous waste regulation in the state, a task that can be made more challenging by geographic remoteness. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency last Wednesday officially transferred authority for hazardous waste regulation to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. That makes Alaska the 49th state to be granted hazardous waste primacy, the term for primary responsibility for management and enforcement over the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, or RCRA. Before Wednesday, the last state to be granted RCRA primacy was Hawaii in 2001, according to EPA records. Now the only state without RCRA primacy is Iowa, according to the EPA. The Department of Environmental Conservation has assembled a hazardous waste program and team and has created state regulations that became effective a year ago. The Alaska legislature has made regular appropriations in budgets for the hazardous waste program, which is part of the department's Division of Environmental Health.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Real Alaskan heroes.
The Woodway salutes you, Miss Blaze King owner.
Your princess works 24 hours a day.
So when you wake up to the fire you started yesterday,
you don't have to worry.
You just grab coffee and sit down in your comfy chair.
So much time to yourself.
What you could accomplish now that you need less wood.
Less wood and less clean.
Your Blaze King treats you the way you deserve all winter long. Saluting heroes, the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway. Brought to you by Blaze King and Wicked Long Burn Time.
Are you a foster, adoptive, guardianship, or kinship caregiver in Alaska? The Alaska Center for Resource Families is here for you. Whether you're just getting started or need post-adoption support, this statewide resource offers free training, expert guidance, and community of Alaska caregivers. You'll find help with foster parent licensing, ongoing training, and resources for Alaska Native youth and families. Visit acrf.org to learn more. That's acrf.org. Supporting families so every child can thrive.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We're going to play a game here.
Uh-oh.
The
I thought you were going to save this till last segment.
Early voting started yesterday.
I know.
It's already here. We have 17 people running for governor. This is called Dave's Lottery. You're going to give me in order that they're going to finish first, second, third, and fourth, not who you want to win, not who you think would be the best governor, but the order that you think in the primary that they will finish. Mr. Tinker, you're first.
You want all four of them?
These are the candidates that I think have a chance of being in the top four.
Oh.
Begich, Bishop, Bronson, Crum, JKT, Halala, Taylor, Walker, and Wilson. So, in order. Now, if you are, pick these in order, Perry Wally is buying us pizza at Bobby's one evening.
Nice.
1 week after this event happens.
Ooh.
Who's your number one? Who do you think is going to come in first?
Begich.
Who's your two?
Wilson.
Who's your three?
Bronson.
Who's your four?
Crum.
Are you going to play?
Well, I am going to remind everybody that with the polls open, they can go online to find their polling place And anybody in Alaska can vote early. Anybody in Alaska can sign up for absentee, which you can do by mail or by computer. And then you have time to go hunting and not forget.
Wow! Are you going to play?
No, Mike sounds pretty close.
So you're going to decline.
I'm punting again.
Okay. Mr. Heimer.
I think.
Who's your number one?
Wilson. Then I guess Krem. And then I guess Bronson. And then I would guess Other.
Other is not.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with sheep regulation.
You have Baggage, Bishop, Bronson, Krem, Halala, Taylor, Walker, Wilson, JKT. Choose one that you haven't chosen.
I should probably... JKT spent a lot of money.
Did you see that weird ad he had? It was like a music festival.
Yeah. Baggage has a weird one out there. Baggage has a weird one out there. I mean, that's just weird. But whatever. And I mean Tom Baggage, not Nick Baggage.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Vote for the right Dan Sullivan, right?
Yeah.
They're usually incumbent.
Al Barrett.
Yes, sir.
Who's your one?
First of all, I'd like to make my disclaimer that any discussion about the Board of Game is my own opinions and not the opinions of the Board of Game or anything that might suggest that. Second of all, I quizzed my AI this morning on who to vote for in the primary, and I haven't gotten an answer back yet.
Wow. This isn't who you're going to vote for.
I'm trying to be more modern these days.
Okay. Well, who's your number one?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if this modern AI stuff is really, you know, the potential of the new world. So
who's your number one?
I'm going to wait till they pump out that answer. The easy one is Baggage.
And you've come a long way, though, Al. I mean, from a LUD that uses paper receipts with a pen to somebody who's using AI to determine the governor's race.
Who's your number, Al? Who's your number
see
two?
What you can achieve when you have a 1.8 GPA from high school.
Who's your number two?
No dead air. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bronson.
Who's your number three?
Bishop.
Who's your number four? Okay. We have one more. Before we come back to politics, we have one more sheep item, 28.
We actually do, and it's one that hunters, prospectively, especially in reach of the radio here, need to think about. Right now over in the Wood River area, the central part of 20A, there is a very serious mineral exploration project going on that's using helicopters daily to access. And what that means is for hunters going into that area and the businesses that support them, everybody from the guides to the air transporters to whatnot, need to be aware of the fact that helicopters have a very disruptive capability to push sheep around and have them leave areas that they're normally in and go over the hill. Type of thing, so it's something you might want to check into before you get going. And we have the Laundry House Gang has got an official request into the governor's office to see if they can do something about this. Basically, mineral exploration is available to in a non-winter sense over there for about 6 months a year, and we need about 40 days for our hunting season, fall hunting season. But the DNR has not done anything to limit the exploration company, and it may be as simple as the fact that our generally allowed uses under Title 11 mineral exploration in the state of Alaska, they are doing everything within generally allowed uses and have no individual permit per se to do that. It's kind of unfortunate that the company does not take things like hunting seasons, which are important to Alaskans, under consideration, but we'll have to see. Al's waving his hand.
Mr. Barrett.
Maybe he knows something.
Yeah, no, I don't. I can only, again, because of observation, my last 2 years that I guided sheep in the 20A area, they were doing that exact same thing, and they would fly up every morning, I believe it at 6 o'clock, like clockwork. It actually appeared a helicopter coming up the river, going to their drill rig to drop off people or exchange people, and do their thing and then come back. So that happened a couple times a day. Both those years that we were guiding sheep in that area, with all that activity, all our clients ended up with a legal ram, and we knew where the sheep weren't.
There you go.
Yeah. So we capitalized on that. So they
herded sheep for you.
They didn't
so
herd
you,
them.
You
they displaced them.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
That's a different word. Mm. Not
well,
herded.
That's
yeah.
That's a legal word. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know why that is.
Why is that?
It's because sheep are adapted to seeing eagles trying to kill their babies and so forth. They see a winged predator, they know how to respond. The lambs are supposed to run under their mommies, which they normally do. If I'm in a fixed-wing airplane, they run under their mommies. If I'm in a helicopter, they freak. I think they freak because they can't see the wings.
Mm.
Yeah.
The biggest bumblebee I ever saw.
And they used to bother us in field work when I was active in the field, and we called the commissioner, we called this and that, we called the military, whatever, and we finally found the most effective thing we could do was to moon the aircraft.
Wow.
You know, I don't even want to imagine that visual, so I won't.
Okay, so look.
Okay, so because I'm going to go for the last segment, I did want to say, just because it's nice and sunny out there today, there's the fair going on, but it's mm-hmm. also, this is a great week to get your gear out, set up your tent.
Yep.
You know, a couple years ago, we were going to buy a new tent, and I got some of that, the rainproofing that you can get, like Sportsman's and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, not the aerosol one. The one that comes in a white sprayer and it goes on, and it's kind of like a milky liquid. Did a couple of coats of that, and we did not need a new tent, and it was great. So I did it with some of our other gear. Great to set up your, if you take a Therm-a-Rest, depending on what kind of camping you're doing, because, you know, some people are going lightweight with sheep hunting. Some mm-hmm. people are bringing everything in for their moose camp because they can drive right in. You know, set up your Therm-a-Rest. Make sure you patch any holes in anything. Definitely try any of your watercraft. Check your motors.
Are you going sheep hunting?
No.
Are you going moose hunting?
No.
Caribou hunting?
I'm moving back into my burned down house.
All right.
pardon me, you're moving into the house that you replaced.
Correct.
Your burned down
house. I do not recommend this method of renovation.
Before you leave, we're going to take a phone call.
Uh-oh.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Lunder House Gang, and your name is?
Oh, I'm David.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about candidates for governor. That's be interested in talking about that.
Certainly. Do you want to play the game?
Oh,
you like pizza?
Well, I didn't catch the terms of the game, so I just...
It's called Dave's Lottery, gubernatorial primary on August 18th. You put in order of their placement, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you're one of the people who wins, there's pizza for you at Bobby's on 1 week after the primary, which is, I think, the last day that they take mail-in ballots. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I'm calling you from out of town, so it wouldn't do me any good to win.
Okay. What's on your mind then?
Yeah. I heard you talking about the candidates for governor, and I'm pretty much of an environmentalist, and the idea that we've got a president who's born in a...
I don't do anything national. Sorry. I don't do anything national.
And so the if you want to know something about real...
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, this is Lucy.
Lucy, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I do listen to, you know, I listen to all of you, you know, mm-hmm. there. Try not to miss it. I'm very interested in your board of directors. It sounds very interesting, and I know absolutely nothing about it. I wanted to ask Al, how many members is there in the board of directors? How often do they meet? And do they cover the whole state of Alaska in their decision-making, such as the dull sheep you're talking about? I will hang up and listen. I'm very interested.
Lucy, you have a great day. It's always great hearing from you from day one. Thank you. It's just always great hearing from you. And before you leave and hang up, are you going moose hunting this season?
Of course. I have a any bull tag.
Why didn't I know that?
Good job.
You have a great day, Lucy.
You too. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. You always got good questions. And so the board of game, or as you said, the board of directors, is made up of seven Alaskans. And they're appointed by, they each have a three-year term that are staggered. So potentially a governor is the person that appoints or reappoints these members. And there's usually anywhere from two to three every year that their term has limited. And so the governor can reappoint them or appoint them. And after that is finished, then their names are forwarded to the legislature. And they have to be confirmed by the majority of the legislators. So you need a majority of 60 votes. Generally, you have two hearings for a Board of Game member, one in the House of Resources, and that committee will ask you questions and hear your statements and your background. And then one in the Senate, which is also Senate Resources, which will do the same thing. And then your names will be forwarded to the joint House and Senate floor vote for a confirmation vote. After you've been confirmed, you sit at the board, and generally for the Board of Game, there's two major meetings. One generally in January or January, February, and then another one is usually in March towards the end. And we do cover the whole state. We don't do it in 1 year. We have a system of where we divide up in the state into several different regions. And every third year, we will take proposals for that region. And so like this year, we'll be Region 3, which is the interior. And then right above us, the North Slope on the east side. And then there'll we'll have a meeting for a region out west, like Kotzebue area. So it'll be the south or the northwestern part of the state. Then there's every third year, there's what we call a statewide meeting. And those are proposals that deal with statewide issues. So if you want to have, let's say you want to change the regulation for evidence of sex on a moose. Typically, that's a statewide issue that if you harvest a moose in Alaska, you have to leave evidence of sex until it's been processed. So that's like a statewide issue. Or taking a sheep class or quiz became a statewide issue.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one, using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind, and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue, just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
If silver salmon fishing in Valdez is in your plans, stop into Frontier Outfitters before you get on the road for all the fishing gear, licenses, and tags you'll need. From rods to reels, from lures to lines, and nets to sunglasses, Frontier Outfitters knows what you need for a successful trip. Why waste your valuable fishing time looking for gear in Valdez when it's at Frontier Outfitters today? Plus, marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Make Frontier Outfitters your first stop. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 76. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 54. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 77. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Hite.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick phone. Oh, let's see here. Is this Compo?
Yes, it is.
How did I know that, Craig?
No. The question for Craig is, how deep in the water are you at the moment?
Yeah. Oh, I'm in deep.
What's on your mind, sir?
Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm down. I've been doing a little expanding for the Laundry House Gang, and I've started down here a Laundry Casa Cartel.
Ooh, like su casa, mi casa?
Yeah. And so we have, I've got some board members already started. I'm involved, but there's a Miguel Tinkerino, and Alberto Barreto, Juanito Jaimo, and I've got a Yen Uhasio and Craigito Campo. Yeah. So I'm trying to expand our reach here a little bit. I'll be back in town in a couple of days, but I just wanted to let you know I'm working on with the Laundry Casa Cartel.
You going to bring back some Modelo?
I'll bring home. Well, I'm holding one right now.
Take care, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Now, Fairbanks, about phone calls, I only take Alaskan-based phone calls. Calling in about the President Trump to complain about his environmental record, or calling in about a mayor from New York. You can go to other radio shows for that. I just don't do that from day one.
Those guys can't pass the sheep test anyway, Dave.
You know, you're probably right. Well, either could Heimer.
Well, they could if they
What was the issue with the sheep test that kept stumping you? The smartest person who could pass it.
They would show you a picture, of a sheep kind of a long ways away that wasn't actually viewed in the correct perspective to know whether the sheep was
legal
or not, yeah. And ask you, shall I shoot this sheep? And I would say, I don't know.
I would say no if I don't. Yeah.
Not enough information to tell.
Yeah, so that's no.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or
are you blasting them all?
It troubles me a lot that you have to say it their way to be blessed.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it's just an exercise. It doesn't help you in the field at all.
Okay. Now, it is August, gentlemen. Al, what would you recommend people do getting out into the sport and field of Alaska this August?
Well, there's multiple things to do out there. You're basically all your seasons will start opening up after the 10th of August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have caribou seasons open on the North Slope already, and they're starting to come in. You know, bear season's been open for the whole year.
What's your recommendation?
I'm going to probably do some grouse hunting, but people tend to catch a lot of fish, so I've been busy mm-hmm. processing their fish. So I'll wait till it cools down a little bit and the leaves drop off the tree.
Okay. Wayne, what is your recommendation?
I recommend that everyone get on their scuba gear and go on an aquatic weed pull in the Lower Chena River.
Oh, I thought you were going to recommend everyone get on line and take a test to see if they can pass the sheep test. But aquatic, okay. Mr. Tinker.
There is a pattern in August from now till the end of the month for dip netters.
Yeah.
Dip netting in mid-August, and this year the fish were a little late. We'll probably be fine. So people who haven't put some in the freezer could still do that, and we want to keep Al busy slicing fish all day, so that's the way you do it.
Keep them out of the sheep hills.
Keep them out of the sheep hills. The caribou, the caribou situation is opening, as Al says here, pretty quick. So if you're interested in an early fall season hunt, that'll be the first one. Sheep season opening up, and if you're headed for that, you better be well along in the planning phase by now. Just around closer, around my neck of the woods on the west side of town, there's a lot of folks gathering up berries still.
Mm-hmm.
The berry crop seemed to ripen a little later, and I know the raspberries and blueberries out the west end have people in them every day now.
Only crop they harvest in Astor?
That's the only one we're going to talk about, Al. But that's the kind
Mr. Cantankerous.
so that's what I would tell people to do. If you're not a hunter fisherman, this is a good time to you know, finish pulling the garden or, you know, start getting everything but the potatoes and putting that away and go from there and start hunting like Al says. I'm like him. I prefer the second half of the season when things are a little cooler and, you know, daylight dark is a little different. Right now, if you go hunt all the daylight hours, you got to hunt 20 hours a day, you know.
Yeah, we're losing 6.5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
My recommendation is look at your weather here in Fairbanks, and if it's a beautiful day, get on a rubber raft or a kayak, put in at the, just above the Window Street Bridge there, and pull out at the pump house and enjoy the elks, the Botel, Chinas, and Pike's Landing, and then the pump house on the way down.
Yep.
You know, have beverages or food or...
If you go past the pump house, beware of the aquatic weeds.
There you go. wear a life vest, and on nice days, you'll probably see a state trooper wondering if you were having an open container beverage. So be careful, be good, be nice. But enjoy the Chena River.
Have open containers while you're kayaking, or
not of alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
But it's we have a beautiful river. We've got some beautiful weather in August, and enjoy it.
Dave knows how to put his brandy in a Coke bottle. You know, it works fine.
Yeah. Anyway, so now, Mr. Tinker, anything else?
The one thing I would say during that kind of parallels along with this election season and what we do at the Laundry House Gang is because there is so much Alaska experience in the Laundry House Gang from a standpoint of people who have been here 50, 60 years to some of these youngsters like Al, we talk to a lot of candidates. They'll come to our meetings, and I'm talking about candidates for all realms of the spectrum. And what we do is we discuss especially natural resource fishing and hunting issues with them. We have the ability to give them history of where these things came from, clear back before statehood. That's kind of an interesting thing that takes up quite a bit of time, you know, this time of year.
This is what I tell a candidate. If you have a question about game management, natural resources, access aspects, give the Laundry House Gang a call because they have experts in their fold that can really guide you through a correct way to look at it.
Yep.
I say that to every candidate.
Yep.
And if you're running for a statewide office, they better spend time with you guys.
When we ask them to keep that connection open, we try to be the whole feel of the group is a little bit conservative, but that's because a lot of us are
toting guns.
No, older Alaskans
or
who are
Al's in there.
Well, yeah, older Alaskans who are used to kind of doing things for ourselves and not
true.
Having government do it all, you know.
Yeah,
and so that leads us into that direction a little bit. But we've worked with lots of candidates and lots of people who get elected who still have questions and whatnot. We encourage them to come back and we'll offer to help. If they need to research a question or something, so they have need it for, like Al's talking about, hearings in the Senate and the House. If you're on the Resources Committee and something's coming up that you're, you know, not right up on top of them, we say give us a call or come by Wednesday lunch, send a staffer over, and let us answer your questions. So we do spend a lot of time at that, Dave.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the show. Jen, thank you for also being on the show. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow. We'll